Welcome back to our listeners, and thank you for tuning in to another episode and a new season of Life in the Rabbit Hole. This episode is brought to you by David Leaf Properties. We're approaching season three with a keeping it real theme with Kaneo Conversation. So we're unplugged with the members of our community. And today we're welcoming Joy Nadel, co-founder and CEO of Rescue Me Incorporated. Welcome, Joy.
Thank you so much, Lori, for having me today.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that we're finally connecting. I know this has been kind of in the works, and I'm anxious to speak with you. And I again want to thank David Leaf Properties for sponsoring this episode. He's actually the reason that you're here with us today. He's actually even part of your organization. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that. But tell me about Rescue Me Incorporated.
Well, we are a all-species animal rescue, which basically means we don't only do dogs and cats, but we have done pigs, goats, farm animals, basically anything with a heartbeat that needs rescue. People can contact us, and we make ourselves available and will help in any way we possibly can to facilitate that rescue. We've been doing this for over 30 years now, and we are just so happy to say that we've survived the pandemic, and we are moving forward. And every day there are more and more animals that need to be rescued in both our county and city facilities, animal care facilities, as well as stray animals on the streets. And we do our very best to be available to help the general public, as well as our community in general.
So walk me through a rescue process, or even walk me through how this started for you. I also want to hear about your inspiration, I believe, Candy?
Candy, yes. So to back up a little bit, 38 years ago, I went to work for a veterinarian. I had always wanted to be a vet when I was in school, but unfortunately I suffered from a learning disability. And back when dinosaurs roamed the planet and I went to school, kids were not diagnosed with learning disabilities the way they are now. And it wasn't until I was 25 years old that I was diagnosed as dyslexic. So school was always a challenge for me. And not that I was a bad student, but it was definitely more challenging for me. And thus, you know, going through 12 years of medical school was going to be even more of a challenge than I could handle. So I'd always wanted to go into the veterinary medical field. And I literally begged the vet that I was using at the time to hire me. I didn't care what the job was, Lori. I would clean cages. I would feed animals. I would take garbage out. I literally did not care what they hired me to do. And after begging and pleading, he finally hired me. And within 6 months, I was the veterinary practice manager and was being trained to be a veterinary technician. And during that time, I saw many, many rescue organizations come through our doors because we were on contract with LA Animal Services to do their spay and neuter program. So every day, Monday through Friday, we would get dogs and cats that would come through our office to be spay and neutered. And many of those clients were in fact animal rescues. And I just got so enamored with these amazing men and women that gave their lives to animal rescue. And I did everything I possibly could to educate myself about the process of animal rescue. I volunteered along with my husband, Craig, for another animal rescue for about 2 years. And then we decided that, you know what, we want to branch out on our own. We want to start an animal rescue that specializes in special needs, seniors, and injured and abused animals, because let's face it, everybody wants to go into a county or city facility and adopt the cute little white puppy with the bows in the hair that just looks precious and perfect. And unfortunately, there are so many others that could resemble that perfect dog or cat, pig, goat, goldfish, whatever the case may be, if they just look beyond what's behind the cage door. And that was the reason that we decided to go down the road that we did. And I'm very proud to say that 30 plus years later, we're still doing that. And we get calls every day from animal care facilities asking if we can take in certain animals that come through their door. And I'm just so grateful that we have those kind of relationships with city and county facilities that they will call us and we can facilitate allowing them to work with us and us with them to save these lives of these incredible animals that come out of these facilities.
I have a feeling you know a very good friend of mine. She is always involved in the rescue process. Do you work with Pet Adoption Foundation?
I know them.
Okay, yeah. So she's been a volunteer with them for years and she goes through the rescue process because I remember many times she's like, oh, I'm rescuing a cat and it takes hours, right? Because, you know, the cat's not going to just come to you and play. So she goes through the process also and she fosters a lot of animals. So I always say, I call her Saint Megan because she is so patient and it takes a very special person to definitely go through this process. And you're right. You know, a lot of people they're drawn to the shiny new puppy and, you know, everything looks perfect and the bow and to look past that, you know, you do have to go inside to find love for maybe an animal who has also been a victim of abuse and it's going to possibly never be as loving and lap dog or lap kitty as some of the others, but they need just as much love and a home.
Absolutely. Most definitely. And it's throughout the years that I've been doing this, we've had some very, very rough cases. We've had some dogs that just didn't recover the way we had hoped, and they become lifers within our organization, whether it be with living with my husband and myself or another one of our board members. But I would say probably 9 out of 10 of the animals that we pull from city and county facilities can be rehabbed and they can turn into those amazing pets that you can feel comfortable bringing into your house and having as a family member. And I think that that's just so important for people when they go to an animal care facility, such as our animal pounds, you know, animal care departments, Los Angeles, Ventura County, you know, whatever county or city you're in. I just encourage people go there and look at every animal, look at the animals that are in the back of the dog runs, look at the animals that are sitting in the corner that are just fearful and know that there are possibilities to take that animal out of that surroundings and bring that animal home into a loving, caring environment. And it might not happen overnight. It might take, you know, a day, a week, a month, a year, who knows how long, but taking that animal out of that environment and bringing that animal into a caring and loving environment not only changes your life as a human being, but changes that animal's life. And it's so important.
Would you say this is the most rewarding part of your life? I mean, because the rewards of, especially when, you know, I want to understand a little bit more about the process, you know, from rescue to fostering also, but like, what's your biggest reward out of this? A complete happy family, a healthy animal? All of the above?
I think a combination of both, because like we discussed earlier, you know, we do take a lot of special needs seniors and animals that have suffered abuse at the hands of humans out of our city and county facilities. So taking that animal, our process, we immediately take the animal to our vet to be examined, analyzed, get x-rays, get whatever medical treatment he or she requires at the time. Obviously get that animal spayed or neutered if they hadn't been at the animal care facility that they were rescued from. Then there is an application process. Part of our job as rescuers is to see to it that the animal that a human might choose might not be the animal that is going to be the best fit for their family. And it is our job at Rescue Me to help them facilitate that perfect relationship. And we have in the past had to make that decision for some people and say, hey, you know what, this dog is probably not the best match for you, but look at this other dog. I think this dog was going to be a better fit for your family. And if you approach things in a positive format and you approach things where you're not belittling or degrading somebody's feelings, and you do it as a way of educating them, they more often are open to understanding that perhaps a 60-pound dog is not the best suited for your lifestyle, and perhaps a 30-pound dog that you want to get for your mother who's in a walker would be make more sense for her. So it's a matter of our job being both educating the public, educating each individual, because every single person that comes to us is an individual. There are not two people that are alike that have ever adopted a dog from Rescue Me. Every single person is an individual, and we have to treat them as such. So, you know, we do have an application process. You fill out an application. We do have a contract, and it very clearly states in our contract that if at any time during the lifetime of that animal, you are unable to care for the animal, if you are in financial distress, you call us and we will do everything within our power to either take the animal back and or help you to make sure that you can keep the animal, dependent upon the circumstance that arises. So we're very, very careful, like I said, with our contract, with our application. And that's part of our job in getting these animals into the perfect home.
I love that. I've been making notes as you've been speaking about this, and a lot of things are running through my head. First of all, so it sounds like you really curate, right, your families and the relationships between animal and those adopting. Is there like a trial period so you can also check in on the family and make sure that this remains a good fit, even though it has been identified as one at one point? Is there kind of a trial period where you check in with the families?
That's a great question, Lori. We don't necessarily do a trial period. I mean, this isn't like you're buying a pair of shoes at a department store and you'd wear them for a week and you decide, oh my gosh, these don't fit properly. Oh my gosh, my feet hurt. Oh my gosh, I got blisters. You know, my job and the job of the people associated with Rescue Me is to make sure that we are putting that animal in the right home. Too often, you know, animals are put in homes where they just don't belong. And then it comes down to, oh my gosh, this animal went now from an animal care facility to a doctor to have whatever injuries or boo-boos they had fixed. They've been spayed and neutered. They've perhaps had a dental done and anything else that they need to do to have them in as close to perfect health as we can to give to a new family. So I guess to answer your question, our job is to make sure that this animal is not going to be given death. Yes, things happen. Of course, you know, it's life. Things do happen. But I can tell you in over 30 years of doing this, I have had two animals that have been returned to us. And it was two cute little Shih Tzus. And the man was deployed to Afghanistan. We kept his dogs for 2 years. He came back and he reclaimed his dogs. Their names were Liberty and Justice. And as soon as he got back, he reclaimed his two Shih Tzus. And we don't get returns because we are so, so careful on where the dog, cat, pig, goat, whatever the species is, goes. I'm not saying that we're a perfect rescue, but we do our very best to ensure that we are doing what's necessary so that we're not, you know, causing any confusion to that particular animal.
No, absolutely. And I don't mean to imply this is like a test phase. Like, no, I'm even thinking about, you know, for the sake of the animal that you've already cared for in the rescue process, you know, I didn't know if there was possibly some kind of follow-up, not that you would consider taking them away, but just, you know, kind of making sure everything's okay. And maybe based on the demographic of the person who has adopted, maybe someone a little elderly, or if there's other animals in the home, you know, do they get to meet the other animals?
Absolutely. So if there is another animal in the home, for instance, if we're adopting a dog, if there's another dog in the house, then we obviously we're going to do a play date and make sure that the two animals are going to get along well with one another. That's really, really important to do. And we make sure that they meet on neutral ground. You know, we never walk in with a dog into somebody else's house and have the new dog take over. They meet outside a couple of houses away from their home, and we make sure that they're getting along, take them out for a little walk together, and then we introduce them into the home together. As far as follow-up, oh yeah, we are one of those that you'll get a call from me. You'll get a call from me the following day, the following week, and the following week after that. We keep in very close contact with our adopters, and many of them send me photographs. They send us, you know, Christmas cards, Hanukkah cards, you know, follow up, you know, oh, Fluffy's doing great today. Oh, we had to take, you know, Fluffy in to have a tooth removed. And we're very, very open with our adopters. We want to know everything that's happening. And we do extreme follow up as well.
Sounds like through adoption, you expand your own family because the animals are your family first, and then you bring on the humans.
Absolutely. We adopt the humans as well as adopt them a pet.
So what happens in those cases when you have to say no?
Well, you know, I think it really depends upon the individual. And like I said earlier, you know, there have been times when somebody has wanted to adopt. For instance, I can remember one circumstance where this lovely, lovely older lady wanted to adopt a dog. And she was required to use a walker because she was unstable, and she wanted to adopt a really, really large lab that we had. And this lab just had Goofy Puppy Brain, bless his heart. He was the sweetest dog in the world, but this dog was not the proper match for her. And she loved the dog, and the dog liked her. But, you know, we had to sit down and explain to her that due to the fact that you're walking with a walker, we think that, you know, perhaps a smaller dog would be a better fit for you. This dog can get on the couch with you. If you have to take the dog in the car to go to the vet, or, you know, transportation issues, you're going to have more of a problem transporting a 60-65 pound Labrador retriever than you are a Shih Tzu. And she was totally, totally cool with it once we explained it. And we adopted her the cutest little Shih Tzu. This little 18-pound Shih Tzu that she was able to handle herself. And it worked out perfectly. And it was a beautiful match. And they lived out their lives together. And she didn't have any problem taking that little dog out on walks and potty breaks and to the, you know, park and to visit her kids and grandkids. And, you know, it comes down to, once again, Lori, just educating people and being kind and not attacking them in an inappropriate fashion and just letting them know that, you know, this is probably a better match. And I've honestly not had a problem when approached properly with people, because it's a part of my job is to educate them.
Right. You're the expert, you're the matchmaker. And with that comes educating them. And, you know, this is better. Why, you know, for both of you, you know, to have that best relationship in your home and forever, because that is the plan.
Absolutely.
So can we get into Candy?
Absolutely.
Talk about Candy the Wonder Dog.
So Candy the Wonder Dog was a rescue from the Agora shelter. My father-in-law adopted Candy, and Candy was a year old. She was born on Christmas Eve, and he wanted a companion. And my husband and I, you know, had moved out. We weren't living with Dad anymore, and he wanted a companion, somebody he could take camping and in the truck and going fishing and going on the boat and everything. And he went to the Agora shelter, and he just fell madly, passionately in love with this little Shih Tzu terrier. And he brought her home, and we all fell in love with her. And Candy was a year old when he adopted her. She lived to be 21 years old. And she became my husband and my dog after we got married. And she was just this amazing, beautiful, not only aesthetically beautiful, but her soul was so beautiful. And, you know, I always tell people, with every dog we adopt, there's a little bit of Candy in that dog, because she was just so special. And part of the reason we did rescue me was I wanted every single person that adopts an animal to have that feeling, and to know that incredible feeling of pure 100% love. And that's what this little dog was. She was just the most beautiful little soul. And she died in our arms. She was 21, bless her heart, and never sick a single day. And she was just, you know, she was 21, bless her heart, she was getting old. And, you know, one day I just woke up and I just looked at her and I said, you know what, if you're ready to go, just tell me, because I'm not going to keep you here any longer and be selfish, because you've been such a great dog and such a great member of our family. And she was our first rescue when my husband and I got married. So we rescued her from my father-in-law, my husband's father. And she was just a beautiful, beautiful little soul. And, you know, when she passed, I wrote a letter to the Agora Animal Care Facility. And oh, you're tearing up, Lori.
I know. It's usually me crying on these things.
I wrote a letter to the Agora Animal Care Department, and I told them about Candy's story and how my father-in-law would take her camping, you know, when he would go camping, and how we would take her on our boat. You know, we'd go out to the marina and we'd put her little life vest on, and she'd love to, you know, be out there on the boat and barking at everybody, and everybody on the dock knew Candy. And, you know, every year, you know, on her birthday, I send the Agora shelter an email and I say, hey, you know what? Thank you guys for letting us adopt this beautiful soul and allowing her to be a part of our family. And she really was, you know, she was a part of our family. And, you know, we celebrate her birthday still every year on Christmas Eve. And every year on the anniversary of her passing, we light a candle. And every single animal that we adopt has a piece of her in he or she. And that's how we keep her memory alive.
I love that. And yes, I was tearing up. I'm usually the one who like cries when I'm talking about stories, and now you made me cry, but it's very touching. And that's why I like to, you know, call these, it's Kineo conversations, but it's really just getting to know our business community and also the people and, you know, the people that run the businesses, but also, you know, the mission. And the mission here is clear, and that's, you know, happiness, family, fulfillment, memories. And something I'll think, you know, it's funny. Have you ever thought of every adoption after, including like a middle name of the dog that is a candy?
Absolutely.
Like, here's Jesse M&M.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's, like I said, there's a part of her in every animal that we adopt. You know, there's, you know, we've adopted many, many Shih Tzus, and I look at them and I go, Aww. Oh my God, that's a little candy. Aww. That's just a little candy. And, you know, recently we were able to match up a senior citizen who had lost her pet, who called into our president, Warren Eckstein's radio show, Pet Show. She called into his show on a Saturday and said she had been looking for a dog to adopt. Her dog had just passed away. And so many rescues would not adopt to her because she's a senior. She's 78 years old, but she's a very active, very young senior. And she couldn't find anybody that would adopt to her. And so when Warren got off air, he called me because he sits on our board of directors as well, which we're very honored to have him as part of our team. And he told me the story, and I immediately called her. And Miss Rosie told me what she was looking for. And the Camarillo Animal Care Facility had this adorable little Shih Tzu who had special needs, who needed to get out. And I went out there and I pulled her from the facility, and Miss Rosie adopted her. That was about 8 months ago. And Miss Rosie is now a part of our family too. We see her all the time. We see her at least once a month when she comes to our friend to get Zoe groomed, and we all go out to lunch together. So yes, adopters do become family. And we become very close. And I always say, you know, when you adopt an animal through us, you never get rid of us. We're always going to be a part of your family.
That's so beautiful. I love that. That's very special. And I really appreciate these heartfelt conversations, because when people, you know, think of adopting a pet, and, you know, they might have to, you know, they have their own little checklist and check, do they check this box, that box, but really it's about love, and it's your heart, and your heart doesn't have that checklist. You need to go meet the animals, bond with the animals, and see if they also choose you. Correct.
So important. You just said something that is so an incredibly magical statement that you made, because yes, the animals do choose us. And that's so important, because very often, you know, I'll be at an animal care facility with a client looking for a pet, and they'll say, oh, that's such a cute little dog. And then they'll look at the dog that's in the back of the dog run in the corner, huddled up, scared and shaking. And a little girl, you know, their daughter or son will say, oh, mommy, I want that doggy. And we'll take that dog out and let them interact. And that's the dog to go home with. So yes, absolutely. Animals do choose us. They're very intuitive and they make excellent choices.
I love that. That's beautiful. Well, tell us a little more about your facility, where you're located. If you're ever looking for volunteers, what does that look like? Donations, perhaps?
Okay. Currently, we are raising funds to build our no-kill animal care facility. In the meantime, we do depend on wonderful people to foster for us. Our idea and our thought process is, I don't want to go to an animal care facility, pull a dog out or cat out of that facility and put he or she in a cage somewhere and go there every Saturday and pull that animal out of that cage and take he or she to an adoption event. I don't know anything about that animal at that point. So we want them to live in a home environment until they get adopted. So we do depend heavily on wonderful, wonderful volunteers to foster for us. And if anybody's interested in fostering, they can certainly contact us via our website. We're not an organization that gets, city or county funding or government funding. We're an independent animal rescue, and we depend solely on the public for donations. So, I can give you an example. We just had a dog that just had $5,100 worth of surgery to save his life. And, we're very blessed that we, have people that support us. But, it those things add up, especially when you consider that, we do take in the special needs and the abused and the injured animals, and those animals cost money. So to answer your question, we don't have a brick and mortar facility currently. We depend on people with huge hearts that are willing to foster and tell us about each one of the animals that they're fostering so that we can match them up more effectively with the proper home.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. Well, I want to thank David Leif Properties again for sponsoring this week's episode and making it possible for you to be here. So thank you to David. And I understand he's also a bigger part of your organization now. He's on the board.
David is a board member. I've known David forever and a day. And actually, David and his little girl, Megan. Megan is now the president of our children's board of directors, because we like to get kids involved at a young age. And Megan is a rock star. So she is a part of this now. So yes.
That's beautiful. We're so aligned in that way. I do like kid empowerment events and kid entrepreneur, because it's wonderful to groom the youth into those levels of responsibility. So that's an incredible program.
Thank you. Yeah. We love to get kids involved, and the younger we start them, the better. And Megan is just, she's an incredible, incredible young lady. And she just has a heart bigger than her little self. And David is a wonderful, wonderful gentleman too. So we're very honored to have both of them on our team.
Well, thank you so much for being here. So one more time, your website is?
www.rescuemeinc.org. That's RescueMeInc.org. And you can reach me through there. And I'm very good about getting back to everybody.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing these wonderful stories and 21 years of with Candy. That is definitely something to celebrate. That is a very long, loving, wonderful family relationship. And to hear how it evolved. Yes,
you had me
crying.
We both had a good cry today, Lori.
Yeah, me crying. So I want to thank you so much for being here with me today, thank you, Joy. And thank you for tuning in from one of our listener hubs, both podcast and radio, and to David Leif Properties for sponsoring today's episode. And until next time, this is Lori Carice, Life in the Rabbit Hole.